Hello and welcome to Watch the Throne, What a Lovely Day. This is episode 29, Sleepwalking, from 2008. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
With us today, back to talk about a movie that is not the near masterpiece that is The Yards, or the dreck that is The Italian Job. Ooh. We have Mr. Zach Dazan. Hello, Zach.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome
this
back.
Was a movie.
Thank you.
I don't think
this was a movie. That's all. End of sentence.
Whoa. This was a movie?
Let's just get it all out. Had you heard of this movie before you signed up for it? I think this was one that was like, hey, just join us for another one. Here's one that nobody picked.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty much it. I hadn't heard of it. Apparently it was in Sundance, but yeah, never heard of it.
It is on Letterboxd. Aside from Waking Up in Reno, which I still love, it is the least seen Charlize Theron movie of all time.
Oh.
According to Letterboxd, according to people who have logged this movie, fewer than 1,000 people on all of Letterboxd have logged this movie.
Well, no one wants to admit that they've watched it, even if they have.
For comparison's sake, Fury Road has been seen by like 240,000 people. So like this is like minuscule in the grand scheme of things.
Fury Road, of course.
It's crazy, Joey. The further we get from Waking Up in Reno, the more like I want to rewatch that movie because
it's still in my top five.
Ooh, we are far from Reno here tonight.
Well, we might not be because we don't know where this movie takes place because not the Wikipedia page defines where this movie happens.
I liked before the show the way Zach put it. Zach, where does this movie take place?
Winter?
I just find that amusing that a season is a destination. But that's basically the gist here. Like, I don't feel like we ever get geography. Like, we never really get like a sense of place at all throughout this whole movie. I don't know where they start, where they go, and what they're up to.
The state is winter. The city is sad.
Yes.
I live in sad winter.
Whoever could have imagined that a movie directed by a visual effects artist and written by a film colorist would have had underdeveloped characters or an underbaked plot?
Yeah, you would expect Thor Ragnarok out of that combination, you know? Like something with dazzling special effects and really great color.
Yeah, and yet we got neither. We didn't even get their strengths. We had them being like, no, man, let's cross train. Let's learn a new craft on this and not even touch our strong suits.
Well, that's something I wanted to address just real quick up front, because usually, well, not usually, but, you know, from time to time during bad movies, it's at least nice to look at. Like, there's nice cinematography, there's all this kind of stuff, and like, exactly. You are professional photographer, can you kind of lay into this a little bit? Because like it is dreary, it's almost as if it's not trying to look nice. I don't know what's happening with this.
Before this, we talked about how this director was named Bill Maher, and we talked about instituting a game called New Rules.
All right, here we go.
Before start the clock.
Before we go any further, it is time to play New Rules. You want to play New Rules, or you want to say something else before?
I don't know if we need to play it like all at once, but if we just kind of like when we had something we could say in a pithy comment, we could come in with a new rule.
All right. Okay. Well, okay. How about that? I like that. How about we each start with one new rule?
All right.
And then we'll drop the rest.
Well, I had one that was regarding to your question. So,
go ahead.
As a photographer, new rules came in. New rule, a slow zoom is no substitute for a dolly move or a sincerely emotional moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you get one and it has to mean something. You know? That's a good one. Mine sort of relates to the look and feel of the movie. So Joey, may I go next?
Sure.
So my first new rule is don't make a 90s indie drama in the year 2008, because it wasn't going to work then, and it sure shit isn't playing.
Oh, man.
My first new rule is that if you're going to sell us on a bill of goods as being a Charlize Theron movie, don't write her out 20 minutes into the movie, only to have her come back in the last 10 and have nothing to do with the plot.
And yet, you know, it was about her abandoning the daughter, and I thought it was a very brilliant meta touch to have her abandon us.
Well, I think we can say that now and appreciate it, but watching
can
the
I
movie,
convince you this is a minor masterpiece? Minor masterpiece?
No,
anyone?
No. Well, no, listen, though. I mean, I am, further we get from The Yards, the more I am considering that a masterpiece, not just like a minor one, but from what we've been dealing with. Give me Mark Wahlberg, please.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Almost. I mean, Nick Stahl's not that bad, but...
Wait, so do you know who Nick Stahl is in terms of the grand scheme of things?
He looks super
familiar. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew him as an actor, and then didn't he kind of have some troubles after that, and that's why he's not been around for a while? Or
I don't know that, maybe.
Okay. I know him mostly from Terminator and this
Terminator
movie.
Terminator 3.
Third
Time's a Charm.
Which we will get there next season. This movie Bully, which was like a really dark, sort of like aggressive teen crime film, I guess. I don't know. Bijou Phillips is in there too somewhere, I guess. But that's all I really knew him as an actor. And then I think he had some kind of troubles and sort of stopped acting.
Is he any good in those things?
I liked him. Yeah, I thought he was good in those. That's why I was like, what's going on here?
He's also notably to me in a movie, you know, when we talk about color or lack thereof, he's also the yellow bastard in Sin City.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. That's right. He's under so much gear. I never recognized him.
Now, what I did not realize, because why would I ever know who this girl is, but the girl who plays Charlize's daughter is in The Way, Way Back. She's the cute next door neighbor that the kid's in love with, so that's cool.
Okay. And she's in Because of Winn-Dixie, right? That's what I knew her from.
I guess. I've never seen that.
I love Winn-Dixie.
She's also in The Carrie Diaries, which I think was canceled after
a year.
She's young Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, she looks super familiar, but then she also looks like, I don't know, she kind of looks like a lot of other people too. I was getting her crossed with, what's her name, the older sister. It's not really narrowing it down, but from...
She's just like a cute little blonde girl. Like, really, I mean, she's pretty good in this, I think.
Yeah.
You know who's not very good in this, I think, for a while, is Charlize Theron. I don't think she's very good... For the entire time in the beginning of the movie when she's like set on like manic mode where she is just full steam ahead, it is maybe the worst acting that we've seen her do in a movie so far. When she finally is able to sort of take a step back and like reflect on her things, and you know, after she brings that trucker home and bangs him on the kitchen table, which, by the way, new rule, if you're going to be staying with your brother after your husband was arrested for marijuana possession, don't go banging dudes on his dining room table. So that's a new rule for
you,
Charlize.
She's a terrible guest. Just the worst house guest. But that scene afterwards, it came out of nowhere. I mean, it was just like suddenly she teleported out of her bedroom and it was like there was like no passing of time indicated. And then suddenly she was just in the sweatshirt, like woke up her brother. And in the beginning, it kind of felt like everybody got a monologue, you know, like everyone got to talk a little bit too pithily. That whole age, like when a woman asks how old she looks, she really wants. She really wants you to say what age she looks like. She wants to look like
25.
I think. Joey, I think we have an issue here, which I had last week, because I thought up until now last week was bad, but this is like kind of, this is worse. And I think it's not really, like, it wasn't her fault entirely last week. It's the character. It's like the role and the way it's written, and it's just not, it doesn't follow a logic. Like I don't know if that's what they're getting at. Like, she's frantic, manic, all this kind of stuff, a bipolar maybe. I don't know. It's not clarified ever.
Yeah.
And it just comes off as sort of like choppy writing, really. And I think she's doing the best, but yeah, it's over the top because the rest of this movie is like trying to put you to sleep. And like, you know, she's keeping you awake until she bows out 15 minutes in, and then it's just like snooze fest for the rest of the movie until Dennis Hopper shows up and gets killed out of nowhere.
this movie actually seems to kidnap you into thinking that she did a good job by dint of making everybody else so unbelievably dull for the rest of it. I think in retrospect, I was like, God, I miss Charlize. And then, but like in the beginning, I was just like, this is terrible.
Yeah, like as bad as she is, I think there's worse performances throughout this film. Like I got a new rule here from a man, Woody Harrelson. New rule, if you're going to hire Woody Harrelson, don't have him play himself. He is clearly not aware there's cameras rolling. He is just hanging out with his friends and trying to give Nick Stahl a little help, a place to crash for the night. But yeah, there's just like, I just felt no character there. I felt no motivation. It just felt to me like he was playing, you know, himself. It was weird. It was very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not very good. He's not very, you know.
And I like him in just about everything, too. So
also, this is the third time in like six movies that he's been in a movie with Charlize.
Oh, yeah. He was his husband. Her husband in the last movie.
Casting directors have no imagination.
And he was also in North Country.
Oh, man, that's right. He was the lawyer who got with her, sort of.
Yeah.
Almost got with her, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. They're
keep coming back.
I like that. Like, he's good in North Country, for sure. Like, he's, very good in that role. Like, he's got chops. Like, I like him showing up in new stuff and everything. So, it was a bummer to just see him drinking beer and doing bong rips under, like, two hats. He had a Rasta hat and a baseball hat on. Like, come on. He's clearly just hanging out on set.
Not very good. Not very good at all. I don't even know what to... Because, like, nothing happens in this movie. Like, I don't know if... I wasn't mentally checked into this because from the beginning, it's just like, this movie's not going to... Like, it didn't feel good. Like, it didn't feel like a well-made movie. And then it just sort of drifts aimlessly for a while. I don't know if I really got the sense, I just read the Wikipedia page, that her husband was arrested for marijuana possession.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know that, like, the cops were there raiding her house, stealing her coffee can full of money, you know, doing this whole thing, taking the daughter out of school because they think she's like in an unsafe environment or whatever. It sort of just feels vague, like there's trouble at home. And then she goes and picks up her brother, and then she's got her own sort of journey, and then she's gone. And then it's the brother and her daughter trying to like make it in this crazy mixed up world of ours. And it's, I don't like, what's the point? Is it just supposed to be like a, hey man, life is tough?
Well, I think it's supposed to sort of be like, you know, we drift through life type of movie. Like we're all, you know, like the title's supposed to imply, like they're sleepwalking through life. Like I understand what they're going for. They're just not executing it. There's good movies like this out there dealing with this type of thing where it's like, oh, a child gets handed off to a relative and they have to make it work. I mean, Hunt for the Wilder People, the Taika Waititi movie about just like a boy who was placed in a foster home and then the mother dies and the husband has to raise him. Like that is sort of got like similar like ideas going on here, but the execution in that is like flawless. Here, this movie even starts, like it feels like it's starting in the middle of the first act. There's this very quick voiceover by Charlize over the opening credits where she's at like the police station and it's all just sort of disjointed. And what I really don't like is the movie hands itself off to other characters. So like it starts as Charlize, then hands it off to Nick Stahl, then hands it off to the little girl, then hands it off to Dennis Hopper. It's like, dude, no. Like I couldn't handle all the handing off either. And so it's just very disjointed and I don't like the nature of that.
Wait, you want to talk about the most disjointed scene in the movie?
Yeah.
Pool scene?
The pool scene. So Noodle,
I knew it.
If you want to add extra dimension to a character, don't do it by adding a new genre to a scene.
And don't sexualize like an 11, 12-year-old girl like that.
Yeah,
like,
it was super
weird. That's what I got out. It was weird.
Where'd she get that outfit from? Where are those kids? What's happening?
It turned into
she
a coming of age
into
scene.
The pool?
It was literally lifted from like the edge of seven, like a coming of age movie or something like that.
Like Lolita or something. I don't know what. I mean, they're at a dumpy motel and she's just laying by the side of the pool, fully clothed, but like in weird clothes. And two creepy little kids are staring at her from a hot tub. And then Nick Stahl comes out and like, hey, there's some boys you can play with. And she's like, what? No. Like, what? No. That's kind of the end of the scene. And then they leave the motel. She leaves the roller skates behind. And they like pick them up and smell them or something. Like, I don't know. Maybe they don't do that. Maybe that's just in my brain. But it's just a weird development.
It's even weirder because like that song starts playing. I can't remember what song starts playing. But it's like that. It's a popular 70s song. And it's just such a mood shifter. You know, it's supposed to be like, I guess what she's hearing in her head. She takes out a pack of cigarettes, lights one up, roller skates around to the diving board, goes and stops on the edge of the diving board, and the two kids are like, oh my god, she's so badass, like check her out. She dives into the swimming pool fully clothed with her roller skates on, sinks to the bottom, does like a ballerina twirl and looks up to the sky, and then we fade out and suddenly we're like in a whole other scene. Like that's the end of that scene. It's like the worst.
It was so weird.
Well, I have a new rule for you that if you're gonna go on the lam as supposedly father and daughter, and you're going to show up to your actual father's house, if you're going to visit your deadbeat dad and lie about your daughter, you might want to have your backstory and lies straight before just babbling your history.
It supposedly had hours to figure it out.
Okay, this leads us to Nick Stahl's character. We find out towards the end that Dennis Hopper, the abusive father who, you know, raised him on a farm and took him out of schools and called him a dummy and all this stuff. So, like, he's got, you know, issues and things, but, like, what is going on really with this guy? Like, is he really supposed to be, like, am I supposed to believe, like, he's actually asleep with his eyes open throughout this movie? Like, because that would make more sense than some decisions he's making, you know? Like, the police sit him down, and it's like, well, say something. Say, like, don't just be like, I overslept. Be like, oh, you know, like, we're trying to work it out. Like, I have a job. Like, we're just on our way to school. He doesn't say, like, any of this stuff to the cop or the social worker. He's just, like, whatever about everything. And that is super frustrating.
He also just seems to do anything anyone asks him to do without any regard to the consequences. That's, like, how he would just drop everything to, like, help her ditch school. He got like fired because he just couldn't say no to this kid who just like, they had no chemistry. They had no reason to suggest that he cared for her enough to do any of these things, and yet he
did everything. Or cared for her enough to abduct her and create an Amber Alert when she's reported missing from the foster home.
Yeah, which, that was wild.
He was driving his original car at that point, right? Nobody called it in? Nobody?
No. And then when he shows up at his dad, like, we find out his dad knew, because the cops showed up and are like, your son and your granddaughter are on the lam, but it's not his daughter. It's your deadbeat daughter's daughter. And he's like, get off my... Well, we don't see the scene, but I'm just imagining him with like a shotgun in one hand saying, get off my property, pigs, or something. Dennis Hopper's
telling
walking
him everything he knows about California.
Dude, it is just a walking cliche of like, I grew up on the salt of the earth and I'm an asshole because of it. And it's, that was just like a turn too much. When we got to the farm and it was Dennis Hopper, I kind of threw up my arms and I was like, of course it is.
And it was death by chores. It was like a literal Cinderella story.
I looked on Letterboxd before I started watching it, and there were only 5 actors listed. And it is Charlize, Nick Stahl, the daughter, Woody Harrelson, and Dennis Hopper. And I was like, where is he going to show up? Like, at what point is he going to drop in? It's like, oh, of course he's the dad. And then as soon as he, like, hits the daughter, I was like, oh, he's got to die. Like, he's going to die at some point.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's maybe a minute and a half later that Nick Stahl kills him, which, new rule, if you're going to abduct a kid and create an Amber Alert, you might as well murder someone, too, because you're already wanted by the law.
Which, by the way, does the fade out at the end of that movie suggest he gets away with it? Because, like, that was, like, the lamest escape ever.
Well, so that's the crazy thing. So there is this cop who, I guess, hates Charlize but kind of likes Nick Stahl.
Detective Keith Charles.
Yes.
Yeah, but from...
6 Feet Under.
Yeah, 6 Feet Under. He's great on that. I was like, where is he from? And after the movie, I looked him up. I was like, of course.
So at the end of the movie, after the Amber Alert is out and the police are looking for Nick Stahl and the daughter, he calls this cop and is like, look, I'm on my parents' farm. He says, I murdered my dad. The cops here won't understand. What do I do?
The cops where? Where? I think you're in the same county.
Like, no, I think they drove a far. I think they go to Utah. Utah.
And then the cop's like, this conversation never happened if you don't want it to.
Yeah. It's like, bring the girl back, turn yourself in, and I'll just pretend like you didn't murder someone. You'll just get charged with abduction. And it's like...
You'll do way better in prison for abduction rather than murder.
Yeah, and he even sort of implies, like, maybe you won't even go to prison. We'll think of something.
Self-defense it somehow, yeah.
But, I mean, that was total... Like, he could have totally gotten away. I mean, it seemed... I think those cops would have believed him. His dad seemed like a real asshole and, like, caused the community problems and shit. And, like...
She'd testify.
It's better off.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if she testified, because it was, you know, self-defense to a degree.
Yeah.
I'll split your fucking head open with this shovel. Like, I think,
like,
after someone
says
that to you...
I'll break you like I broke the horses.
Yeah, like... I don't know. In a movie, you have the right to hit him back.
Speaking of horses, if you're going to have a horse who loves apples, and you don't want anybody to feed the horse those apples, maybe tell people not to feed the horse those apples.
That horse didn't even look like it really wanted to eat that apple. It was, like, not eating it.
No, it was not into that apple.
But don't keep a basket of apples next to the horse, then?
Yeah.
New rule, if your granddaughter's only been on a farm for a day, don't slap her around and yell at her for not knowing how to clean the shit out of a place.
Yep.
Like, what is that about?
It was definitely her idea to give the horse whatever disease he was mentioning.
Colic. Colic?
No, colic was the apples. It was like something hoof.
Oh, there's... Wait, so the horse was... Like, he was like saying that the horse is going to get 2 different diseases?
Yeah. If you gave him the apples, it would get colic. And if you didn't clean the shit out, you'd get like trench foot or something.
That's what I learned from this movie. That's like what this movie has to offer the most.
Apples
give
horses
colic.
Horses
can die in so many ways.
They're so delicate.
Yeah.
I'm already wondering am I out of notes about this? Like, I don't know.
I actually had a question about, like, why were those horses even on a farm if you're, like, broke? What kind of farm is that? Is that just a dirt farm? Like, what is going on with that farm? I don't understand what people do on farms in movies, because it just doesn't seem what they do on farms in real life.
I thought about that for a sec, but then I realized it was winter. So it was fallow. Maybe they had crops in the other times. Mm. But there were steer and cows and stuff, but like he only had like 5 of them. Like, you can't really support yourself on selling 5 cows.
Oh, that's right, because I guess when they showed up, one was being born, and I guess it was stillborn or something, and I guess that was supposed to be a metaphor.
Oh, I missed that.
I caught that one.
Oh, no, I did see that. I thought it was like a pig or something. I don't know what that was.
Whatever it was born dead, and I was like, oh, okay, like, I get it. Everything born on this ranch is dead. Like, it's all fucked here. Like,
yeah.
Which they try to go for, but I don't know. It's just too little too late, I guess. The movie shifts into, like, a whole different mode. Like, it keeps shifting, you know? Like, the first act is way different than this long, drawn-out road trip of a second act, and then the third act is, like, a completely different tone. It's like, it really gets into, like, Nightmare Town and, you know, leans real heavy into that.
They tried to get a little conceptual and didn't quite do so well.
Yeah, it's amazing that Dennis Hopper is murdered by shovel in the same scene that roller skates jumps off a diving board. Like, those two scenes, just, it's amazing they're in the same movie together.
It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, and it's not like Kill Bill, like, which would have both of those scenes in it.
Yeah, yeah, by no means is this like an action thriller, right? There's no intention for either of those scenes to really be here. I mean, we could play this game all night and we kind of do that on Third Time's a Charm sometimes, but like, I would have really gone for Charlize drops, you know, abandons her daughter with Nick Stahl, and the two of them like help each other turn their life around and like actually make it, you know, like Nick Stahl like starts showing up to work more, gets her ready for school, like becomes responsible. Child welfare is knocking on the door, but they're doing everything they can to keep him away, and like it actually turns their life around. Then Charlize can show back up to like reclaim like her daughter and everything, and at that point there's like the real sort of like tension and drama
conflict. That'd have been a really well focused movie. That would have been nice. You should make
movies. I actually thought it was, you know, I gave it a chance. I was like, I hope it tries to go there, and then they hit the road. I was like, oh shit, he's like kidnapped his own niece, and like, what are we doing? I don't like that. I didn't like that part.
So what actually happens? So Charlize is on a date with a trucker, right?
Yeah.
And she goes out, comes back, bangs the dude on her table, has the emptiest I love you, like, he just, she says to him, right, say I love you even if you don't mean it. He's like, okay, I love you. And it's just, that's like, that's really sad. Like, that's very, very
super sad.
She just leaves the next morning with her, with him?
Pretty much, like, not if not the next morning, like, the next day, she's gone when they all get back and stuff.
Right, because that evening was when they had that conversation.
Child welfare shows up a few scenes later, and he's lost his job, and she's late for school, so they put her in a halfway house, and he goes to visit her on her birthday.
Did you say a few seasons later?
A few scenes later, but yeah, a few episodes later. he goes and visits her, and she's like, oh, like, just take me out for the day or something. And then she's like, let's get out of here for good. Let's go find my mom. And he's like, well, okay, because I get pushed around by everybody and can't be an authority figure in anyone's life.
Yeah.
And stand up for myself. So he basically, she pushes him around to get them on the road. And then I think once they realize that they're wanted, they go like, the only place they have to go is the ranch. So they're kind of stuck at the ranch for a while.
Right.
And that's the movie. Like, yeah, basically, like, he kills his dad and they go back. Like, Charlize just, like, shows up. What is happening?
I don't know. There are two things I want to say early on in the movie that I liked. Charlize in cowboy boots. That's cool. I think that might be a first for her.
Oh, yeah. Like, the cowboy
boots. Is it really? It seems so natural for her.
And what's strange, in that I don't think it ever comes back, Charlize uses an inhaler, and I was like, oh, just like, what's her face, Entrapped, just like...
Oh, the daughter.
Dakota Fanning. No, not Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, is it Dakota Fanning? Yeah, that's who I was thinking of in this movie as the daughter. That's who I was trying to mention earlier as the older sister. Well, because Elle Fanning is the younger sister. Sorry,
and
guys.
She is the sister.
Right.
Let me see here.
Oh, there's a... So she's been a mom before. She's actually been a single mom in a very good movie, the Valley of Ella movie. Which is good. But there's something that kind of popped up here about a movie that came out recently. So recently there was a movie that we'll get to eventually that was really in and out of theaters called Gringo.
Yep.
And that was about weed.
Yep.
And this movie sort of has like that weed element where it's like her boyfriend was the weed dealer. And can I just say, like, I think being busted for weed cropping is now just
slapping the wrist.
Going to date a movie for the rest now. Like in 10 years later.
It's a period piece.
Right. It's going to be considered considered a period piece.
Did you guys even forget the fact, and I think even from the beginning, like from that, you know, getting busted by, you know, the weed, getting busted for weed or whatever, it feels like most of this movie, it feels Shakespearean. Like, it feels like a tragedy that's like, and maybe that's just my, like, backhanded way of saying, it feels like we've seen this before. Because it feels like yes. There's just this whole through line of, like, and it's not, because I didn't see anything that was, you know, I think this is an original script, I mean, quote-unquote original, but I feel like it just feels like, oh, you know, the son has to murder the father, and, you know, has to, like, has the sister, like, it just, everything feels very archetypal.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a good thing. You can use that. Like, there's no problem, because, I mean, there's only, like, 12 stories in the world, right? There's a very limited amount of stories you can really tell, but it's about how you twist that story into being something unique or original or whatever, right? And, like, here, you can have a story where it's just sort of generic as hell if you do something with the characters or the way that they interact with each other or the development of stories or whatever, whatever. Here, it's just not that at all.
Be careful with that, because when you try, they try to twist it too much, you end up with a pool scene. So, you know.
Yeah, and like, I feel like that's where this movie kind of fails, is trying to be like a combo flick. It's like, okay, there's a genre out there, like I was kind of saying earlier, where, you know, it's like, all right, we're family, even though, like, we're not blood, or, like, I mean, there's kind of, like, you know, even in Logan, where it's like, you're not my daughter, but you're my daughter, and I'm going to raise you, and, like, they grow closer together, and he's more like an uncle or whatever, but, like, there's a films like I think a Gifted. I didn't see Gifted, but, you know, Captain America raises his niece and she's a prodigy and has to battle for custody and all this stuff. Seems like a much better version of this movie. And then there's road trip films. And it kind of seems like this guy's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take like one of those sort of heartfelt family drama things where I'm raising my niece and I'm going to combine it with a road trip film. We're going to go on the road and have adventures and it's going to be fun. But somewhere along the line, like, he forgot the fun. And it's just like reality sets in and it's like Amber Alerts and abusive parents and like the law and like changing our identity. It's like, this isn't like what I want really out of like a road trip. I want like a good time and having fun. And like, sure, there can be consequences, but like, let's have some fun first.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe in trying to push the genre, he like kind of broke it a little bit, or just like he's just not gifted enough to like interweave it well enough.
Yeah. It's kind of like they kind of get the broad strokes of how to make a movie like this, but they just, you know, don't have the experience or talent or something to actually nail the stick the landing.
There's a pretty good kidnap film with Kevin Costner. I always forget the name of it though, but I think it, I always forget the name of it. He like kind of accidentally, well, kidnaps this kid. He ends up going on like a crime spree with him, and is a bit of a, like, Stockholm syndrome. And it's got like a, like, that is a very good, believable sort of relationship that's crafted between those performances and stuff. And it's, it could work, is I guess what I'm getting at. And it's just, when it can't, it's kind of miserable.
Any story can work in the right hands.
Except for this one.
There was some really, really weird interchanges of conversation. Did you notice, like, if you really listen to what, like, the dad was saying when we first entered in on them, he was listing things he knew about California, and then he said, "What else do I know about California?" And then they abruptly changed the topic and just started talking about whatever the actual scene was about.
Well, I feel like the dad, like, I mean, not that any real part of this movie is well written, but I feel like the Dennis Hopper character is, like, especially poorly written. Like, it's just like, how do we make him seem that there's a history here, but they're not close, that right. He is knowledgeable, but also completely oblivious at the same time. And it's like, oh, well, we can just have him talk about that and, like, have him have, like, these old-timey values about, you know, I don't see any ring on your finger, like, where's your wife? And it just, it feels like he's a cobbled-together collection of stereotypes as opposed to an actual character. And I don't think I heard the California thing. I think I probably zoned out on that. But like,
yeah, it was a lot of zoning. If you didn't pay attention, there's another one in the diner. I can't remember exactly what was happening, but somewhere in the diner, he asks something and she either completely ignores the question or just asks a different question. Some of these scenes, I swear I was watching The Room. It just felt like someone, like the high doggy was about to happen. It was so strange. I do have a new role. This is kind of not really related to anything. anything in particular. If your main character's last name is Reedy, don't name her daughter Tara.
Who is that?
Tara,
you said that before.
Tara
Reedy.
Reedy.
Tara Reed. Okay. I get it.
So
now.
I was very distracted by that. Straight from like.
I never thought I'd be like, I wish Tara Reed was in a movie. But like, here we are. I wish Tara Reed was in this movie.
Well, I do. Really, I think the girl is the best part of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. She's strong.
She was great.
I think.
Yeah. She was good.
It's really tough to. I feel like it's just what she's given to do. It's hard to track. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine for her, the actor, and as like for me, the viewer, it was impossible to sort of track her like state of mind, you know, or anything. Like, is she happy now? Is she sad now? Like, I really couldn't get a grip on her. But that kind of leads to just like every character is inconsistent like that. Like, take Dennis Hopper. Like, this guy's a prick. Like, there's no indication that he knew that. That he knew this isn't Nick Stahl's daughter, but it's Charlize's daughter. And then the scene comes along where it's convenient so he could say, like, they came along and I knew, like,
and
you
now,
know,
my
you
slaves.
Know, and I, yeah, because, like, he would have turned him in. Like, he doesn't give a shit about his son. Like, it's not even like he needs, like, these extra hands on the farm. Like, he doesn't really want them around. I mean, he's just playing mind games trying to be, like, you know, like Mr. Big Shot around his son, who's had under his thumb his whole life. But, like, that just felt very inconsistent to me. I was like, no, like, you don't know that that's not his daughter. Like, that's bullshit movie. Like, he would have turned him in, or like there would have been an earlier thing when he showed up and been like, I know that's not your daughter, and now you're gonna work for free for me and you're fucked now, and like you're stuck, you're back home. Like, oh, you know, like they could have made something out of that. And
yeah.
So that's why I feel like it was a moment where the writer's like, I'm just going to have him know this at this point.
Yeah.
I think my only other note about this is that I wrote down toward the end, we're now in the Charlize wandering around part of this movie. She spends 5 minutes of the movie, like, looking for them, it seems like, right?
At the end, right?
Yeah.
Like, she gets back into
After
town.
After she comes back.
Mm-hmm. She goes to the old place, and they haven't changed the locks, and it's like a whole new family living in Nick Stahl's apartment. And she goes to her old place, and all the stuff's all over the front yard. And then she, like, goes to the cops, I think. Like, that's really weird too. Like, the cop is like, oh, I'll help you find your daughter. It's like, what is happening here? Like, they don't like each other. What is happening?
All right, but he's a very dedicated detective with nothing else to do. He knows a strange amount about her and her daughter for a detective, I feel like.
It feels like there's a history there that the movie does not go into at all.
Because,
like, he's very aggressive toward her in the beginning of the movie. Like, it feels like they're in and out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, routine run-ins. Like, I think that the movie wants you to make these jumps into backstories and relationships between characters, but, like, they don't really establish any real, like, you sort of have to make the jumps on your own.
Which, I mean, there's something to be said for restraint. Like, I, for one, didn't even need to see the dad in the jail scene. Like, that wasn't really necessary, was it?
No. Yeah.
No. I'm okay with, like, kind of leaving some things to the imagination. I think that's good filmmaking, but...
But you can't leave the entire thing to the imagination.
True.
Like, I agree with you that, like, you can let the audience make its own jumps and calculations and whatever, but at the same time, you can't do that about everything. Like, you can't just be like, oh, you can fill in all the gaps and all the backstories about all these characters, because you've seen movies before, right?
At this point, at that point, they'd just be admitting that they hadn't put anything original in the movie after all. Like, yeah, fill it in. You've seen it.
I actually kind of like the way it worked a little better with the cop, you know, trying to get a read on him, because I could understand his frustration. It's like, I want to help the people in my community, but I have to arrest them. It's like, I can't always be a good cop. You know, there has to be a time where I draw the line every once in a while. And then, so I'm able to buy it a little easier at the end when it's like an actual crisis and that he's there to help get her back and everything like that. But yeah, that's like kind of the only time like any kind of vagueness is working for me.
Yeah.
Especially since I didn't think like Dennis Hopper even needed to be in the movie. Like, I felt like the kid and the girl could have figured themselves out with each other, you know, how to sort of like take care of themselves and stuff. But
well,
do either of you have anything else to talk about with this movie, or are we sort of pretty much?
Oh, the last thing I just wanted to say about it is like, it really, like, I was super surprised we didn't at least cut away once or twice to Charlize,
like with the trucker.
We had no idea what she was doing on her runaway or
right,
why.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. Like, a normal movie would maybe do that. Be like, what is the decision where she's like, this is enough? Like, maybe, you know, the money's run out or whatever. Like, she catches truck driver dude like with another woman, or she just gets left at a hotel and wakes up with no one the next morning. Like, I really would have liked a moment like that.
Actually, like, thinking about that, like, I would be absolutely okay with that about not seeing her at all if the movie didn't set it up as being her story.
Right.
Yes.
Like, if it's firmly in the perspective of the brother or the daughter, mm-hmm. you can cut away to her, or you can have her leave the picture and, like, leave the daughter there, and that's fine. You know what I mean? But don't set it as her, like you were saying, like, you know, voiceover opening over the opening credits, and, like, she's the one taking the action, bringing the daughter out of school, picking up the brother, going to get the money, all this different stuff. Like, it's like American Honey if, you know, Star drops the kids off in the beginning, and then all of a sudden we're with her sister, and it's like, what? Wait, that's not... what? And then, like, all of a sudden we get back at the end, and, like, Star is just... like, Star comes back, and then Shia is there. He's like, wait, where were these people for 2 hours? Like, it's not... It wouldn't work.
Yeah, we got the far less interesting side of the story. Like, we should have just gotten in the truck with Charlize and had that road trip movie relationship thing going on, and then, you know, at the end, check back in with Nick stalled. See what's happening. Hey, how's Dad doing?
Zach, do you have any other notes or any other thoughts about Sleepwalking?
No.
Cool. Okay, so we have a new game that we started last week on the show. We are no longer doing the remake game or the pitch a sequel game or the link Charlize worlds together. Instead, what we're doing is inserting either Charlize's character or, if it doesn't fit, Charlize Theron, the actress, into the new release of the weekend that this podcast comes out. So this podcast, as we're recording, comes out next weekend, where the big movie release of the weekend is The Incredibles 2. So, Zach, if you had to take this deadbeat mother and put her into The Incredibles 2, could you do that? Or if not, how would Charlize, what role would Charlize play in the world of The Incredibles 2? Just like all the other games we play, no wrong answers, just about creativity, but how would you weave in either her character or the actress into this world?
God, I mean, wouldn't it be fantastic to see a version of The Incredibles in which Elastigirl elopes with a truck driver for most of the time and the rest of the family just has to cope with raising a baby what's-his-face?
Jack-Jack.
As that would be quite the unexpected movie, something only Pixar could really pull off.
And then Elastigirl comes back at the end. They're like, hey, I'm back now.
Yes, but they're staying with Frozone's dad, and he's abusive, and he's the villain, and they have to kill him.
Oh, man, that's so good.
The shoveler.
I love it.
The horse god. Yes.
All right, Mike, do you have an idea? Because, I mean, that's pretty great. I feel like we should each do one, though. But I mean, I don't know if we're going to be able to top that one, because that was just so quick and so right to the heart of the matter. But, you know, Mike, any thoughts you have for this?
So I only came up with one thing, and I think it works either if it's this character or it could be a new character, but I think this could be okay. Charlize, actually no, it would have to be, it couldn't be this character because Nick Stahl. All right, my idea, Charlize is Mr. Incredible's sister.
Okay.
Mrs. Incredible, that's her deal. Like, that's the movie. Like, they go in as a family to, like, swoop in and save the day, but it's already been done by her, and she sort of, like, steals the spotlight, and she's like perfect and everything and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we find out that she's been staging all of, like, the incidents, and, like, she's actually, like, masterminding the villainy behind it all. And so it's like a brother sister sibling rivalry kind of thing this movie started to have and completely abandoned when her character left the movie for you know, like, 90 minutes. So
I'd watch that.
I'm gonna go with that.
I like that.
That is, in a way, not quite, you know, the relationship, but sort of, or maybe it is, I don't remember, but that seems also similar, and not, this is not like an insult, it's just like a cool, a little bit of a preview for next week, Hancock. I feel like it's sort of some kind of rivalry there too, if I'm not mistaken, between her and Will Smith, right? So
yeah, it's been a while since I saw all of Hancock, because I usually turn it off at a certain point. We'll get there. We'll talk about it. But yeah, they have a complex relationship in that movie.
The way that I could see her fitting in, I don't know that her character necessarily could fit in, as long as you know, it's not Elastigirl being a deadbeat sister for most of the movie, which I do really love. Or a deadbeat mother, I mean. I'm sorry. Deadbeat mother.
And sister.
What I would like to see, because my first thought, not necessarily best thought, was to see her as a villain. Because I feel like she has that, like, really arch quality. But I think we're going to get her as a villain in a couple movies coming up. What I really want to see, and I don't think we've seen her in this role yet, and I don't know if we're going to from here on out, I would love to see her as sort of like a frazzled hacker who, like, they have to, like, call on to help with, like, one of their missions or something.
Oh, yeah. So, like, no superpowers?
No superpowers, no. It's just she's super smart, and she's, like, sort of stuck in a room somewhere. Because I feel like we've sort of been talking about this for much of the run of Watch the Throne, especially by this point in her career. You know, she's obviously a beautiful actress, you can't really have her be this, like, nerdy, frazzled, you know, before, like, the before picture of the, you know,
right,
she's
all
that.
That.
Right. So I think if you have an animated movie, you could have her voice, and you could have her sort of resemble Charlize, but you're not like, why is Charlize like this, like, mousy woman? You know what I mean? Like, but I think that that sort of super smart, hyper-intelligent assistant, almost kind of like Shadow Cage Club, G-Force, like a Speckles, you know, behind the scenes, maybe also like Speckles, maybe she flips Ooh. Evil. Maybe
what
she breaks bad.
Seth Green in the Italian Job?
Like Napster?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I'd like to see that, and I think, you know, that would sort of make sense, so fingers crossed, Incredibles 3 brings Charlize into the fold.
Well, I don't even know what Incredibles 2 is about coming out next week. So, like,
I don't either, but I know that Charlize is not in it.
No, but, I mean, any of these plot lines could, you know, surface. So, I mean, imagine if the movie is about, like, divorce and she, Elastigirl, leaves him with the kids and, like, for, like, a bigger hero. That would be incredible.
Oh, my God,
incredible.
That would be unbelievable.
I mean, come on.
It would be the titular Incredibles.
Yes.
Okay, so the last segment on the show, actually, before we get to the last segment of the show, we do have an email address, no emails today, watch@cageclub.me. Let us know what you think. Say hi. Just check in. Just say hi. You know, if you like this new game, I feel like this game is fun. I think we're going to sort of stray from it probably in a handful more episodes, but I like this more than the other ones. It's breezier. It's more fun. It's quicker. I like all these things. But yes. Email us, watch@cageclub.me. Let us know what you think. The final segment on the show is the Watch the Throne Awards, perhaps the Golden Wallpapers, perhaps the Golden Teeth. What should we nominate this film for, good, bad, otherwise? Is this worst film caliber?
Ooh. Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
I think so.
It's the worst I've seen.
What's on that list so far?
Well, there's a bunch of them. We've got 15 Minutes, Battle in Seattle, Celebrity, The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, Hollywood Confidential, The Life and Death of Peter Sellers, Reindeer Games, and Trapped.
It's like almost every movie we watch.
It's a lot of her movies, Mike. You
Italian Job
right
didn't make
that.
That list?
We could almost take 15 minutes off of that. Almost, but not yet.
Oh, man.
Well, I feel like, and fingers crossed, we're not going to have too many more. Like, I'm now surprised when we get to a movie that's bad.
Right.
But
I feel like we had a shift a couple episodes ago, but we're being betrayed now.
We are. What did we do to deserve this, Mike?
I don't know what we did to deserve this. I think it came from, you know, almost doing Affleck. Like, the universe is still kind of getting back at us a little bit.
No, we did the right thing. We pivoted.
I know we did. We pivoted, but we're still paying for it, for the idea in the first place, maybe. I don't know. I'm just
Jeremy pivoted out of the way.
That's right, with our rug and all. That's
all right. Worst Charlize roles, Jolene in Sleepwalking.
Well, yeah.
She's not bad. Good.
No, it's a terrible role.
And that's not that's again not condemning her. It's more of the role, the character, what she's been given to do.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be there. I mean, it's just
like
by default.
Is there
like
a worst
though.
Cinematography award?
No, we're not really doing that. We've talked about it, I think, but we have not done that.
Oh, the music was just so god-awful, by the way. Do you notice just how awful it was?
I feel like we should have, like, a worst needle drop moment, but I can't remember the name of the song at the pool.
God.
But
I also meant the soundtrack itself was so hilariously generic. It was so stupid. Or not the soundtrack,
what
the score.
Of the categories we have, let's see what
I'm going through now. Hold on. Yeah. I'm just looking at the soundtracks now. It was... Oh, it's Funk 49. Funk number 49, right? That's that.
Yeah, that's it. I know where you're going.
Yep, it's Funk 49 by James Kang.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
It just made me be like, this is... What is this doing? This would be in, like, such a better movie.
Okay. Yep. We have Best Wardrobe, which I love the cowboy boots, but we're not going to put it in there.
No.
Most Dressed Down Appearance. She's supposed to be hot in this. That doesn't fit in there. Best Accent Voice. Doesn't really have an accent or voice.
Oh, that's
love
right. Yeah,
story.
We get her normal voice in this movie. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Should we do worst love story, her and the trucker?
Oh, God. Well, we don't really know how that plays out.
He says he loves her for her. Like, that's
true.
Really sweet.
Of
maybe
what we get
best
to see.
Love story.
I mean, like, maybe worst dirty corn scene, like right there in front of your brother and daughter on the kitchen table.
I don't think we have sex scene. I don't think we have that as a category. Oh, we have sexiest. Oh no, we have sexist film, most sexist film. But no, we don't have any.
No,
you know, three cool scenes. Best non. Do we want to nominate best non Charlize Death for Nick Stahl murdering Dennis Hopper? I don't know. Is that good?
I mean, it's cathartic for him, right? Like, and he gets away with it. I don't know.
Maybe.
I Like, I love, like, what I like about it is, like, how insane, like, that whole thing is. Like, Dennis Hopper just cranks it up to 11 from nowhere in that scene and is just ready to kill his own son and grand. Yep. And then, like, it is just, it escalates so fast. Like, you couldn't believe, like, faster than, like, Usain Bolt. I mean, like, it's crazy.
That guy escalates.
But there's just no, like, it's just so out of nowhere. There's just no place for it in this movie. So I don't know if I can nominate it. Plus, it's not very gruesome. Like, you get the implication that he bashes his head in with a shovel, but you never see, like, any of the gore.
Well, does he bash his head in or does he bash his back in?
Well, he hits him in the back, and then he goes down, and then you see him swing it a couple more times.
And he's definitely dead, so we assume the head eventually
very fair.
Happened. Yeah.
I'm filling in the blanks for the movie.
Yeah.
I do. So there's nothing else that really fits. I do want to nominate the little girl, Anna Sophia Robb, I think is her name. As
best supporting actress,
best non-Charlize actress. Yeah,
yeah, she was all right. Yeah, she did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, she was. Oh man, I can't imagine how intimidating it must be to go up against like Dennis Hopper when he's supposed to be mad at you.
Oh my god!
And this was a tough role for any kid. I feel playing like that abandonment stuff is not easy to be like genuine. Like when you know what I'm saying. Like a lot of times, it just comes across as like tough to do. I feel. I don't know. It can be. It could feel like. Fake for me watching kids do this in movies, but she really pulled it off. I felt.
Do we want to nominate Nick Stahl as best, or do we want to nominate Dennis Hopper as worst?
Worst what?
Worst actor.
I didn't think Nick Stahl did a very good job at all.
I don't think so either. But I just want to make sure. I want to put it out there just to see. If
I mean, he's no Stuart Townsend. You know what I'm saying?
He's no Stuart Townsend. That's for sure.
I feel like that is the benchmark, and he's been fine in other things, so that goes a little ways here tonight. Too. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like it's necessarily the actor's problem. Like, I feel like it's the material, really, the script and the,
sure, yeah.
Whoever's directing it. Like, you got a visual.
Emotionally checked out director, yeah.
Yeah, well, you got a guy who you, from the sound of him, you know, should be making a movie more like Deadpool, right? Where it's like an effects-driven action thing that's full of, like, splashy color and stuff. But instead, he does, like, this taut drama thing that is just on life support from the start.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't really feel like we should nominate the actors for worst this time
around. All right. All right. Well, that's fair. So, I think that's everything else. Is there anything else that we did not mention that we want to say is either really good or really bad about this movie that we want to... Keeping in mind, I don't really want to create more categories. We really have to... really, truly...
Not worst pool scene?
Out.
Is there...
No. Although, we have a great pool scene in... Waking Up in Reno.
See?
Where they're drinking beers in the pool. That was cool. I like that.
Yeah, that was a much better pool scene altogether. Like, the whole... Yeah, I liked when they're at the motel in that movie. That I mean, even the first time around, that was my favorite stuff, when they're wrestling in the background of the shot and everything.
Yeah.
So
wrestling.
Am I going to go watch that, like, tomorrow?
You might.
I might.
It's a great movie. It's always out there for you.
It just proves that people can change, folks, you know?
If I can change and you can change.
We can. That's from Rocky IV, right?
It is.
There you go. We can all change.
The repetition of today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Oh my god.
As such a meaningful thing, and then like it loses it, any impact it would have had is lost by the fact that it's been told already. It happened like 3 times and then they're like, tell it to her, and then she does, and it's just so weirdly a weird flat way to do it, but it's also just a really lame quote.
So you know how before you mentioned, like, you know, this isn't Kill Bill, you can't expect that these two scenes are in the same movie or whatever. You know how like at the end of Kill Bill, the first one, the bride tells Sophie whatever, and then like we don't hear her say that, and then we see her telling Bill, and then we cut back to the bride telling her. Like, do that, but don't like you're saying, don't be like, tell your mother it's the first day of the rest of your life. And the girl's like, but don't worry. He says it's the first day of the rest of your life. She's like, it's the first day of the rest of my life? Yeah, it's the first day of the rest of your life. It's like, no, like, stop.
And then
it.
We watch her react as though, and I'm like, we've already absorbed this information. We don't want to watch her absorb it anymore. And how does this even enter into anything? It's just such a weird quote. So is there like a worst one-liner category?
No, we have best line, but we don't
that
have
should be
worst
the,
line.
That should be on the poster, though. I mean, it's almost as if the characters have never heard that before in their entire lives either.
Right.
You know, like that's a whole new, like opened up a whole new world to her.
But
like,
the alcoholics random haven't heard the 12-step logo, like,
well,
motto.
Yeah, and especially since it feels like the daughter like walks up to Charlize and like puts a bumper sticker on her forehead that says like, this is the first day of the rest of your life. That's how it played.
Yeah. Cool. Well, unless either of you have anything else to say, thank you so much for coming on, Zach. Zach, you will be, I think, the first and maybe the only guest on this program to come back for a fourth time.
Oh,
We'll be back in a couple months for a movie that I know literally nothing about called The Last Face.
Well, that seems to be all what I do. I just come in for the ones that we've known nothing about.
Well, yeah, so
the
far...
The Last Face? When did that come out?
Aside from Italian ago. Job, I have no clue. 2 years ago? We're that far now already? Wow.
Well, no. The Last Face, it's in 3 months. We're right now in 2008. The Last Face is 2016, so...
Oh, I didn't hear
toward
that.
The end of the run, you know, 5 or 6 movies before the end, we're going to get to this weirdo movie that I've never heard of. It's the most recent movie and the only one. So here's how little I know about that movie. So next movie we're doing is Hancock. The movie after that is The Burning Plain, which I know nothing about.
What? I never heard of that.
I know. But between that and current day, I have not seen them all, but I know all of the movies, except for The Last
The
Face.
The Last Face. I mean, we'll have to do some research ahead of time to make sure it's streamable somewhere.
As of whenever I put the list together, it was on Amazon Prime for free. So that's that.
Yeah, I mean, I you know I love being on this show, and you know I love, I'll watch whatever for you guys. That said, I would love it if I could get an early dibs next time you do a thing. Because I've never gotten to do a Fury Road, you know, sort of situation.
We have not announced the next podcast that we're doing, but we're not actually letting people choose what movie, and we'll let you know why. We can actually tell you when we're done recording. But the next one's going to be sort of a little bit of a grab bag, because it's going to be sort of a little bit of a grab bag for me and Mike, too, which I think is going to be fun. So
cool.
It's not for lack of love. Believe you me, everybody who wanted to sign up for this wanted to do Fury Road, and we're just like, it's tough.
I think even to the point of doing, like, 2 episodes for it.
We thought putting you on Italian Job was, like, a good thing. We're like, oh, that's a good movie. But as we talked about on that episode, nope.
No, it was fun. It was fun. We had a good time.
But yeah, so aside from that one, which we all sort of... You know, we were all befuddled by. You're one of 2 so far in movies that we didn't know being good movies. So, near masterpiece, pile of trash.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really grateful that I got to see The Yards because of you guys. So I appreciate that.
That's still, like, I think close to, or if not top 5 for me. Like, it's still very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I like it.
The more, yeah, it really, it's a real sleeper hit.
The more terrible movies we watch, the better all the other ones have gotten.
I think. It's
a grower, not a shower.
Very true. So for all things Watch a Throne, including Zach's previous 2 episodes, and eventually his next one, the classic The Last Face, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter or Instagram. We're now on Instagram, so follow us over there. Pictures and videos and stuff, you know, the things you come to expect on Instagram. Hey, they're on our Instagram. So go to those places. We've got lots of other shows. This episode comes out on Friday, June 15th, which means earlier this week, our Watch a Throne Magic Mike's crossover edition came out on the Magic Mike's feed. So it is 99% the same episode that you heard last week, but a little bit of a different intro. A more profane and vile intro, I can tell you that much. But,
yeah, I remembered what that intro was today. I was like, oh, man, maybe I should ask him to cut some of that out.
Oh, no, we are leaving it all in there. That is a TVMA podcast, I can tell you that much. CageClub.me, Facebook.com/CageClub, at CageClubPod on Twitter and Instagram. Watch at CageClub.me. Email us. Let us know what you think. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Zach Dazon, and we will see you next time on Watch the Throne.
Jail.